Here's David on the line. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
David, you're a victim yourself, and you've waived your right to anonymity, and you understand the implications of that, David.
Yes, of course I do.
Tell me why you've called us, and thank you for doing so.
Stephen, I suppose I wanted to call you because we keep talking about individual victims. I come from a family of seven who were all placed in two of the main homes that have been, you know, involved in the institutional abuse inquiry. And of those seven, two have committed suicide. One has significant mental health problems. Another is anorexic. And I myself tried to take my life when I was 21. And one could say that we have suffered, or I suffered, every kind of abuse you can imagine.
David, I know you'll understand why I'm saying this, but let's not, because we don't have the permission of those others, I'd be more comfortable talking about you and your case, if that's okay.
Yes, that's okay. I suppose, Stephen, it's fair to say that the abuse lives with you for a lifetime, and that there certainly wouldn't have been the support services that are available to many others. I only got the courage to engage in counselling at the age of 61. And one could say I'm a successful person. I mean, I have qualified as a social worker. I became a senior social work manager. And in a paradoxical sense, I then had responsibility at one stage for managing three children's homes. So I could say I'm one of the lucky ones because I've been able to live with my abuse, but not without a cost statement.
And how do you feel about the way you're being treated?
I suppose... No, I suppose I would refer to victims and treat it as political footballs, because it isn't only Karen Bradley who is doing this, it's also our own politicians who should be ashamed of themselves also. But Karen Bradley will say this is a legal decision that she has made, and legally that's the right decision for her, but it's ethically and morally wrong. I suppose that our politicians should be dealing with ethics and morals much more before anything else.
Are you angry?
I wouldn't say angry because, I mean, it's difficult for me to become angry because, believe it or not, I am on antidepressant medication, so my feelings can be a bit dulled. But no, I'm not angry. I suppose at the end of the day, I feel completely let down. I don't need compensation, Stephen. I have a comfortable lifestyle. But I am not alone. I mean, many mothers do need that compensation. And it certainly isn't about money. It's about closure. I suppose my experience started from the age of 2 years old until I was 15 when you were turfed out. And my difficulties probably really became manifested after I left as well. So in that kind of sense, I've had to go and find my own counselling and my own supports. So... Anger's too easy, Stephen.
Yeah.
I don't feel ashamed of Karen Bradley because, or our politicians, they should feel ashamed. I have nothing to be ashamed about. But I feel that they've completely let us down. And political football is at the speed this has been kicked back and forth, as opposed to being a well thought out move of a pawn. That's just my view, Stephen.
There have been many things used over the years, David, as political footballs in Northern Ireland.
Absolutely.
If you're right, if you are being used and other victims of sexual abuse are being used as political footballs, as political pawns, if that is the case, that is beyond contempt.
I suppose.
And I guess we would all hope that that would not be the case.
Well, I hope not. I mean, I have to say that I heard Mike Nesbitt, I attended the launch of the inquiry report. And certainly I would know Margaret McGugan very well because we live in institutions at the same time. And Margaret won't mind me mentioning her name. But at least he, Mike Nesbitt, has been a champion for victims. Other politicians have mooted in that sense, but he has been proactive in it. So there's a lesson for all to learn from him, in my view.
David, thank you for calling us.